Rebecca Carroll, and this is Midday on WNYC. From the vineyards of the North Coast to the orange groves of Southern California, farmers have been battling extreme weather lately. Californians have lived through a historic drought, a massive wildfire, and a strangely warm winter followed by that unseasonable freeze. In his recent article for Grist, titled "Are Avocados Toast?", senior writer Nathaniel Johnson takes an up-close look at what farmers are experiencing due to climate change and a deep dive into how trees in California are reacting to weather changes and how that's affecting crop fields. The article appears in Grist and Mother Jones, and I'm happy that it's brought Nathaniel Johnson to our show. Hi, Nathaniel.
Hey, great to be here.
Thanks for coming. Climate scientists report that by 2050, temperatures may increase 4 degrees overall. Seas could rise a foot and droughts and floods will become more common. Why are farmers forced to deal with this now?
Well, trees are a sort of time machine. Because they live for 50 years, sometimes longer, when you plant a tree as a farmer, you have to be thinking ahead at least the next 15 years, often the next half century. And so it makes 2050 close enough to touch.
So that's kind of amazing, actually, to think about trees in that context. Like, if you're a farmer and you are having a relationship with a tree, say, or it is some kind of marker, right?
Exactly. Yeah, you're planting this thing, and it forces you to take this long view. It moves you into the future. And so I started this story with this hypothesis that because when people are forced to put their own money on the line, you know, their political ideologies tend to go out the window. They tend to take a really hard look at the facts. Mm-hmm. And so I started this story with this idea that farmers would be making these huge changes in the way they were, you know, in the trees that they were planting, based on the climate science that was coming in. And what I found was really confusing at first, because they were looking at the climate science and they were using all the models that they could, but they were still planting these same trees. And so I spend a lot of time with this avocado farmer. Avocados are one of the trees that are, for a number of reasons, most at risk from climate change, and trying to understand what he was thinking.
So that was the farmer Chris Sayre?
Right.
And you had visited his avocado orchard in Ventura. And so let's talk about specifically, how did his avocados look when you visited the orchard?
Well, he was just getting close to getting ready for a picking, and there were some avocados that looked really good. I took some home with me and ate them, and they were great. But there were a lot of avocados that had sunburn. I didn't know this could happen to avocados, but if they're not protected by leaves, they have these really thick leaves that hang down around the fruit will get sunburned, and there are just these little black spots, or not so little black spots, where the sun had hit the avocados. And it doesn't actually cause any problems, but they're unsightly and people won't buy them in the store. And so, you know, you have to make them into guacamole or something like that.
Why did those particular avocados not have the leaves they needed?
So they had this strange freeze in that part of the state. It had been warm all summer. It had kind of been this wacky weather. And just when they thought they're heading into springtime, all of a sudden it got really cold and froze, and all of the tree branches that were horizontal, where some water could collect on top and form some ice, had just frozen and died, and the leaves had fallen off. And so without leaves, then you get the sun coming through and hitting the fruit, and then all of a sudden that translates to burns, and that translates to a real loss of income.
But they continue to grow nonetheless. So go ahead.
Yeah, they continue to grow. He was saying that if the freeze had been just another hour longer or 1 degree lower, he would have had some really serious damage. So he lost some branches. He didn't lose whole trees.
So California produces 2/3 of the fruits and nuts for the United States, which is kind of amazing. But aren't climate and water scientists saying that California is going to keep getting drier?
Yeah, it's probably a lot of the models show California getting drier, and almost all of the models show California's rain coming. Some of them show a little bit more rain, but it's rain rather than snow. So you have these intense monsoon torrential downpours all at once. And when that happens, the water tends to flood and run off rather than coming slowly, falling as snow in the mountains and then seeping down into the water table, seeping, melting in the springtime and running down slowly throughout the summer and providing that water that California relies on. So it's a really, it looks like it's going to be this feast and famine of water, which is exactly what we don't need.
And so why is this especially a problem for farmers like Crissair?
Well, pretty much all farmers in California rely on water during the summer, not falling from the sky, but coming through canals. And this is what makes California agriculture so amazingly fertile and productive. We have these dry summers where you can precisely control how much water you put on plants. You don't get too much and get fungus forming and get parasites. You can put just enough to keep these trees alive or keep your crop of corn alive or what have you, and produce this really amazing crop. So that's what's made agriculture boom in California. But as it dries up, that may be the thing that cripples the state as well.
I'm talking with Grist senior writer Nathaniel Johnson about his article, Are Avocados Toast? I like what you did there with the title.
So I'm proud of that.
As you should be. So now Sayre and other farmers, I assume, are faced with the decision of whether or not to plant a field of new avocado trees. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And he's put off this decision for a long time. He's had mostly lemons. Since, you know, it was his father's ranch before his father passed away. And for the last 15 years, really, he's been thinking, gosh, these trees are getting old, their production is going down. And he's just kind of been limping them along, avoiding having to make the decision of what do you put in, you know, what do you cut them down and put in next. And this is their last year. He's finally decided this is, you know, just not working. I need to make a move one way or another. So after this lemon harvest, he told me they've got a date with the chipper. And so he has to, and his plan is to plant a bunch more avocado trees. So he's gambling that he can make avocados work in this more uncertain future.
But what's the market risk of him planting something other than avocados?
Well, there's lots of different things that he could plant, obviously. And he could plant something that's very adaptive to the climate. You know, he told me I could plant prickly pear, and that would survive any kind of post-apocalyptic hellscape that you can think of. But there's a problem, which is that people don't really buy that much prickly pear. You know, it's not the kind of thing that you say, you know, honey, can you make sure to pick me up a couple of bags of prickly pear when you stop at the supermarket.
Also, what is a prickly pear?
A prickly pear is a fruit that grows on a cactus. They're kind of beautiful, actually, and pretty good. So we could learn to eat them, but we don't have the, you know, it takes a lot to shift a diet. Mm-hmm. You have to have the recipes. You have to have the culture. You have to have the childhood memories, mm-hmm, of those recipes. You have to know what to do with it. You have to know how long, you know, how to tell if it's ripe. All these things that are a real hurdle for him. So there's a market for avocados. We eat a lot of avocados, and we've learned how to love them and how to make delicious food with them. And the consumption of avocados in America is just going up and up. So he sees this real opportunity in the market to make money there.
And what are the chances that the gamble will pay off?
Well, there's a couple of...
I mean, are avocados toast?
I think ultimately we've already seen them being toasted in America. We've seen this competition from Mexico, where there's cheaper labor costs. Farmers can employ pickers for much less, and so a lot of the avocado production is moved down there. And they really require this sort of narrow band of temperatures and humidity to flower at the right time, to produce their fruit, to not freeze but not be too hot. So I think at the very least, all the models that the scientists have charted, what's likely to happen to avocado production in California. And they show it declining rather precipitously.
And what about strawberries? Aren't they an option?
Yeah, so his neighbor right across the road also had citrus groves and cut those all down and planted strawberries instead. So strawberries are something that also have this real market demand. Everybody loves strawberries. You can sell them. But it's an entirely different set of skills. He told me that if he wanted to plant strawberries or vegetables, he has another neighbor who plants cilantro, other people do celery, but he says that he might as well go back to medical school. It's like learning a completely new profession. So he's really a tree guy, and that's where his heart is, and he's experimented and had this lifetime of knowledge around growing and nurturing these orchards.
Do you think most farmers accept the science of climate change, or do they think it's just sort of weird shifts in weather?
Well, I don't have a bead on most farmers. It's awfully, the science of climate change is one thing, but beliefs about climate change have unfortunately gotten so tied to tribal identity. What people feel like if they're part of a certain group, if they're conservative, they have to say that climate change isn't happening. Often, if they're liberal, if you say that, you're a climate denier. And so there's a lot of conservative farmers out there, and so the way that they talk about it is a little bit different. That said, they still understand risk, and they see these shifts happening as real risks that are coming down the pike to them. They tend to focus more on in California we basically didn't regulate groundwater extraction for a long time. So, if you could stick a long enough straw into the ground, you could pump out as much water as you could get. And because things are getting drier and that's unsustainable, we've put in a law to regulate that groundwater pumping. So they see that, the conservative farmers I talk to see that as the real risk. But of course, that's motivated by climate change.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm Rebecca Carroll, and I've been speaking to Grist senior writer Nathaniel Johnson about his article, Are Avocados Toast?